And if you would take your Bibles and turn with me to Matthew chapter 28. That's mostly where we'll be today. We're looking at the church, the God's vision for the church, what it means to be a healthy church, to refocus our vision for what we're meant to be as a local church. And if you're wondering, well, why are the chairs weird? It's meant to be a picture that we're a body. We're a church is made up of believers, with different gifts, different, ways God has made them to love and serve one another. And there's not, the church is not, there's the professionals up on the stage, and then there's everybody else that comes to be, served and entertained. It's everybody has a part. We looked at that last week. Everybody has a part to play in the body of Christ, and there's not, this gift is better or more important or more essential. We're all needed as a body of believers. We saw from Matthew 16 that the church belongs to Jesus. It is a gathering of Jesus followers built on the identity of Jesus, built on the offense of the cross, united in one body by the Holy Spirit through the new birth. A local church is made up of individuals. So a healthy local church is made up of healthy believers. So it matters, our own personal walk with the Lord. From Colossians 3, we saw that followers of Jesus live by faith. We keep our minds fixed on God and His glory. We live in love. We forgive as we have been forgiven. We're to live lives saturated with the Word of God and with prayer. From Romans 12, we saw that the church is a body, the body of Christ. The church is made up of individual believers. And as individuals, we each bring something to the table. Something to the body. We as individuals, transformed by the good news, God has given each of us different gifts that we use to build one another up in love. We're meant to experience the gospel in community. Let's pray. Father, as we open your word together, teach us, speak to us, work in us, work through us in the lives of others. Teach us what it means to be your body. You are our head. We want to listen to you. We want to submit to your authority. We want to follow you. And we want to function together in harmony in a way that brings glory and honor to you. Give us ears to hear what you want to say to us today. Use your word to penetrate our hearts and to change us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Experiencing the gospel in community. Hebrews 10 tells us, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir one another up toward love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. We're to draw near to God through Jesus, to hold fast our confession of the gospel. We're to meet together, to encourage one another in the gospel, to stir one another up toward love and good deeds. We're to experience the gospel in community. And we're to engage our community with the gospel. That's what we're looking at today. We looked at the beginning of this series on the church. We looked at the great confession in Matthew 16 that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. That is the foundation on which Jesus says, I will build my church. And now as we look at the Great Commission in Matthew 28, how Jesus goes about building his church. Matthew 28:16 says, "Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age.'" Jesus instructs his 11 disciples to make disciples who will make disciples. That's how Jesus intends to build his church. Luke gives more detail on the Great Commission. Luke chapter 24. He said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." He opened their minds to understand the scriptures, that it's all about Jesus, that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead to fulfill all the scriptures. Repentance, turning from whatever we were holding on to, turning to Jesus. Forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations. A gospel foundation for his church. Paul summarizes the gospel in this way in 1 Corinthians 15. The gospel that he proclaimed. The gospel that was to be received, to be held fast. The gospel that was saving those who were believing. Paul says that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. That he was buried. That he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. And that he appeared. Making disciples must be built on a gospel foundation. That is the gospel. That Jesus, God, come in the flesh, died for my sins, took my place. And through him, in turning to him, I have forgiveness and eternal life. And you are witnesses of these things. Now, a witness, I had jury duty a little over a week ago, and I didn't get called to serve on the jury, but as the courtroom setting, a witness is simply called on to say what they know, to tell the truth about what they have experienced. We're called to be witnesses, to testify about Jesus, what we know, what we've experienced. Jesus goes on to say in Luke 24, verse 48, "You are witnesses of these things, and behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple blessing God. You are witnesses of these things, but stay until... In Matthew 16, Jesus told his followers that upon the confession of himself as Christ, as Son of God, he would build his church. But they were not to reveal his identity to anyone not yet. Luke continues the story of what Jesus began to do and teach in his book called the Acts. Acts chapter 1, verse 1, he says, "In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all the things that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up." Acts is what Jesus continued to do and teach among his followers, his disciples. After he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen, he presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." He orders them, commands them, wait. Wait for the Holy Spirit. Jesus continues in Acts 1 verse 8, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up and a cloud took him out of their sight. You will be my witnesses. You will be immersed in the Holy Spirit, clothed with power from on high, in order that you may be my witnesses. The very first thing we need to note is that we are to be his witnesses. We are to make disciples, not in our own power, not with our own natural wisdom, our own natural ability. We're to fulfill the Great Commission in the strength that God supplies. You see, natural means produce natural results. Supernatural means produce supernatural results. Jesus told his disciples, wait. You know the truth. Wait, you need to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was sent. Peter preached. And Acts 2 verse 41 says, "So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers." Acts chapter 2 closes with these words, "Day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved." Notice, the Lord added. This was not their creativity and wisdom and plan. It was the Lord doing it. Acts 11, the church was scattered because of the persecution after Stephen's martyrdom. Scattered outside of Jerusalem. Some of the disciples preached the Lord Jesus to the Greek-speaking Jews in Antioch. It doesn't say it was the apostles. It was followers, disciples who make disciples, who make disciples. Some of the believers preached the Lord to Greek-speaking Jews in Antioch. Acts chapter 11, verse 21, "And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number who believed turned to the Lord." And when news of this reached Jerusalem, because they were still wrestling with this idea of the gospel going outside of the Jewish people, they send Barnabas. Acts 11:23, "When he came and saw the grace of God, he was glad. And he exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. And a great many people were added to the Lord." God's grace made visible. He saw the grace of God. In Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas travel through Asia Minor, visiting the Gentile churches, bringing news of the Jerusalem Council from Acts chapter 15, that salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone. And it says, so the churches were strengthened in the faith, and they increased daily in numbers. Jesus is building his church through the witness of his followers who are empowered by the Holy Spirit. Now it's important to say here, if you are a follower of Jesus, if you are trusting in Jesus, believing in Jesus, you have the Holy Spirit of the living God living in you. Paul writes to the Romans in Romans chapter 8, you, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. There is no concept in Paul's thinking, in the biblical thinking, of a follower of Jesus who doesn't have the Holy Spirit. He says, if anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. So believers, you have the Spirit of the living God living inside you to empower you to be his witnesses. And you are called to be his witnesses. Not to build his church, that's Jesus' job. He will use you as a tool in his hand to build his church. Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples. Notice before Jesus commissioned his disciples to go and make disciples, he claims to have all authority. It is therefore, because of this, because Jesus has all authority, that he now authorizes them, us, to make disciples. Jesus possesses all authority in heaven and on earth. Philippians tells us that because Jesus humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross, it says, therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus holds all authority, and he, with all authority, authorizes us, you, I, to make disciples. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Matthew's gospel began with the introduction of Jesus as the one who will save his people from their sins. The one who would be the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecy of Emmanuel, which means God with us. Now, at the close of this gospel, Jesus promises to be with us, his people, his followers throughout history, all the way to the very end. Jesus' own authority remains with us today because Jesus himself is here with us today. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Of all nations. Where Judaism was a come and see There was only to be one temple, only in Jerusalem. Come, if you want to be a part of this, come, become a part of us here in this place. Christianity is a go and tell. Judaism was a gather here, come once a year, twice, several times a year, up to Jerusalem. Always that central point, it's a come and see. Christianity is scatter. If you don't scatter, I'll bring persecution to scatter you. Scatter, go to the ends of the earth, bring the news to there. Allow churches, we looked at the book of Colossians, written to a church Paul didn't plant. He was in Ephesus. Some guy from Colossae showed up. Epaphras heard the gospel, brought it back to his people in his town, and a church was birthed. Jesus says, I will build my church through disciples, ordinary followers, open to follow Jesus. Jesus explicitly includes as an essential part of his great commission that the good news is meant for all the nations. We are not to be comfortable, not to be isolated, not to be exclusive. The ultimate goal is that people from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages are standing before the throne of God and before the Lamb worshiping. See, Jesus is more than just King of the Jews. He's King of Kings, Lord of Lords, King of the nations. The book of Acts chronicles, if you look at the structure of the book of Acts, chronicles the spread of the gospel from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria to the ends of the earth. As followers of Jesus, we are to engage our community and beyond our community with the gospel. So what does it mean to make disciples? What does that mean? What does that look like? Well, what is a disciple? A disciple is a learner, a follower. We make disciples by proclaiming Jesus, proclaiming in Jesus the forgiveness of sins. Repent, turn from whatever else you are hoping in, holding on to, trusting in. Turn to Jesus alone as your only hope. Let go, turn from, turn to Jesus. Disciples make a clean break. Now, baptism is a picture of that. You go down into the water. What you were is now dead. You come up a new creation in Christ. New desires, new affections. Throughout the New Testament, believers are baptized. And the word baptize is a Greek word. It means to immerse, to dunk. This is a public statement that you have made a break with your past and now you are following Jesus. Jesus commands that we baptize his disciples in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Notice that's grammatically weird because you have name singular and name of, and then he has three names. It's like, what are you saying? We are to be baptized into the one name of the one triune God who eternally exists in the distinct persons of Father, Son, and Spirit. We are immersed into God himself as followers of Jesus. Baptism is an identification. It identifies us with a new group. It is saying, I belong with these people. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12, for just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. Jews or Greeks, slave or free, all were made to drink of one Spirit. Verse 27, now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. See, we're baptized into one body by the Holy Spirit. Water baptism is an outward declaration of what happened to us when we believed the gospel and turned to Jesus. Those who believe the good news and turn to Jesus are to be baptized, identifying publicly, I am now a follower of Jesus. Identifying with the body of Christ, I now belong to these people. But it doesn't stop there. Matthew 28, verse 19, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Remember, a disciple is a learner. Now this is profound. This will blow your mind. A follower of Jesus follows Jesus. Isn't that deep? It seems like it should go without saying, but Jesus thought it was important enough to include in his Great Commission. Disciples, followers of Jesus, obey Jesus in everything, all the time. Now, when I say it that way, it's a little more uncomfortable, isn't it? Of course, yeah, I follow Jesus. Disciples, obey Jesus in everything, all the time. Teaching them to observe or obey all that I have commanded you. To follow Jesus is to give up following yourself. Here's what I want to do. But Jesus, you are King. And I now belong to you. So I have to give up being King of me. I get to obey. I get to do what He says. Now understand, this doesn't happen overnight. When you hear disciples obey Jesus in everything all the time, some of you might be discouraged or doubting, thinking, that doesn't accurately describe me. I certainly don't obey Jesus in everything all the time. Maybe I'm not really a follower. Maybe. That's a good question to ask. But remember, Jesus' command is that we make disciples, teaching them to obey Jesus. Teaching is an ongoing process. It's not a one time, you have been taught, you're done. A disciple is a learner. A lifelong learner. None of us have graduated. We're all, by God's grace, still learning. I'm still learning. There's still areas. This week I was reading a book and it was confronting me, and like, that's uncomfortable. But it's the gospel. And I don't want to listen. Part of me is like, that's not comfortable. I don't like that. But I want to follow Jesus. There's a struggle. I'm still learning. We're learning to love God more than anything else. Anybody arrived yet on that one? I haven't. We're learning to love neighbor as we love ourselves. We're learning to surrender every area of our lives to His loving control. We're learning to be His witnesses, to make disciples. We're getting to know Jesus better, what He demands of His followers. We want to please Him. We're learning what it means to be a part of His body, the church, to love and serve and forgive one another. We're learning to forgive like we have been forgiven. We're not there yet. There's growth. We're walking. We're following. What a disciple does not say is, I understand that Jesus is calling me to do this, but I will not do it. That is actually what it means to not be a follower of Jesus. To not be a disciple. To say, I won't follow you. I won't listen. I won't submit to your authority. That's the definition of a not follower. A disciple does not refuse to follow Jesus, at least not for very long. There can be that wrestling, that struggle. But a genuine follower of Jesus says, I have what I want, and that's rising up against what you want, but I really want to please you, and help me. Help me. Help. Remember, Jesus has all authority. And it's good authority. He's a good master. He taught us to pray, hallowed be your name, not mine. Your kingdom come, not mine. Your will be done, not mine. To follow Jesus is to have a new master, a good master. And remember, we're not alone. Trying to do this on our own. Jesus is with us. Always, to the end of the age, we are empowered by the gift of His Holy Spirit who lives inside of us to give us what we need to be His followers. Jesus is building His church. We, as His disciples, followers, we're to engage our community with the gospel. We're to enjoy the gospel in community with other believers, and we're to engage the community with the gospel. We're empowered by the Spirit under the authority of Jesus. We are to make disciples, other followers of all nations, identifying them as followers of Jesus by baptizing them into the name of the one true God, teaching them to obey Jesus always in everything. And we're to continue following, continue learning, continue spending time with Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we absolutely need your help. We are not enough. You have called us to something great, to something big, to something important, to something earth-shaking, world-changing. Lord, we look back in history and see that 11 guys, a ragtag assembly of diverse personalities, absolutely shook an empire and changed the course of the world history. And we look across this globe and see that you are true. You have built your church. And it's messy, and many of us are broken, and it's not perfect, but we're not done yet. So help us to take to heart the great confession that we are built on the gospel, the identity of Jesus, Son of God, the Christ, the anointed prophet, priest, and king who came to pay my price and take my place and forgive my sins. Forgive the sins of all who would turn away from whatever else they hold on to and turn to you alone. Thank you that you today here in this valley are building your church. And the gates of hell will not withstand your bride, as she, in obedience to you, empowered by your Holy Spirit, under your authority, as we open our mouths and with our lives in loving service to others, proclaim the truth about who you are. That you're bringing life out of death and light out of darkness, freedom out of bondage. Do it, Lord. Continue your work in us and through us for your glory and your glory alone. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. May we treasure the gospel together as a body of believers. May we enjoy the gospel in community, and may we engage our community with the gospel for the glory of Christ to the ends of the earth. God bless you. Remember, He is with you always. Go in the strength that He gives, in the power of the Holy Spirit, and be a disciple who makes disciples.